Earlier today, there was a guilty plea in the murder case of Aspen native Nancy Pfister. Mr. William Styler has pleaded guilty and will be sentenced to 20 years in prison. And all charges against a third defendant in the case, Kathy Carpenter, were dropped. Our own Elise Thatcher has been following the case from the beginning and was at the courthouse this morning and joins us now. What happened?
It was kind of like a 1-2 punch today. First, we came in and there was the hearing for Mr. Styler. He entered his guilty plea for murder in the second degree as a crime of passion. And in a short statement, the district attorney described what happened as Nancy was sleeping. Mr. Styler went in, hit her a couple of times with a hammer, and she passed away. And she died. And that was pretty much it. That was the amount of detail they went into. Styler's attorneys then had a statement saying he admitted guilt and he acted alone and he felt terrible about it. And then he was sentenced to 20 years.
All of this developed this week. There was some new evidence that surfaced late last week and early this week on Tuesday. All charges were dropped against Mrs. Styler. There was this hearing today for both of the remaining defendants. Now we have a plea, which means there will be no trial.
Exactly.
There will be nothing happening next week, no preliminary hearings, none of that. That tells us what happened. We can say, okay, we now know what happened. But there's another interesting part of this, and that is what happened to Kathy Carpenter.
Yeah, and we almost spent more time on that today than we did during the formal court hearings. During the court hearing when the charges against Kathy Carpenter were dropped, one of her attorneys, Greg Greer, said passionately during the hearing that we believe it's provable that Kathy Carpenter was held on false information. And afterwards, he and the other counselor, Kathleen Lord, waited very patiently for reporters to get ready and sit down, and they spoke for about an hour on their account of what happened leading up to Ms. Pfister's death and immediately afterwards, and why they believe Ms. Carpenter did not have any involvement in Ms. Pfister's death or any sort of cover-up afterwards. Of course, it's their job to argue in that avenue, but to be honest, it was pretty convincing.
And they are pointing, if I'm correct, to a possible mistake by the Colorado Bureau of Investigation, which was called for by local law enforcement to come in after the murder and do forensics of the crime scene. And so her attorneys are saying they made a mistake, and a pretty significant one.
Yeah, it sounds like a big part of her case was handled by the Colorado Bureau of Investigation, and the turning point is when they called in investigators to help with the interrogating, and a lot of that interrogation was based on the 911 transcript. Now, we listened to the 911 call, and it is heart-wrenching. And we're not playing it for you because they asked us not to.
Now, this is the day that Nancy Pfister's body was discovered. Mm-hmm. Kathy Carpenter discovered the body, called 911. This is the tape you heard today.
Exactly. And during the tape, she's distraught and referring to how she saw Ms. Pfister. And there's one point where the CBI transcript shows Carpenter is saying forehead, and this is where the wound was that Ms. Pfister sustained. Now in the tape, you can hear her saying headboard, which is where she saw the blood, and we saw pictures of this. So the CBI's approach was, well, if you saw her forehead, then you must have been a part of the murder.
Because the forehead was obscured, so only somebody involved in the crime
exactly
would have known about the forehead.
Yes.
So this one word mistake, if it indeed is a mistake, according to her attorneys, would exonerate her completely and also cast doubt on why she was arrested in the first place.
Yes, exactly. And we asked whether they were looking into taking legal action over this, and they said, frankly, we're all just adjusting like you are to the turn of events and her now being free. And a big part of why they went into a tremendous amount of detail as to what happened is because they really feel like Kathy Carpenter is going to have a hard time reintegrating with the community, and they want her to have a fair chance. Now, once again, I'm reporting on this, so I'm not saying whether it's all true or not, but it was very unusual to have attorneys who normally keep their comments to a pretty short amount of time go into elaborate detail. Does elaborate mean making up?
No.
go into tremendous detail to explain what they believe happened.
Now, at the same time, you said that our sheriff in Pickett County, Joe DeSalvo, indicated that Ms. Carpenter is still under investigation.
Yeah, after, so to go back to kind of the middle part of the day, everyone was kind of talking about what happens now. Mrs. Styler is totally free. She's not going to, she can't be charged with anything related to this crime again down the road. But there seemed to be some cloud of suspicion hanging over Kathy Carpenter. And indeed, it was said that she's still under investigation. It was almost implied as if they didn't get her this time, but they're still keeping an eye on her. And so when I asked Carpenter's attorneys about that afterwards, he said, "We'll see how long that investigation lasts."
Mr. Carpenter is 66 years old. He's been sentenced to 20 years.
Mr. Styler.
What did I say?
Carpenter. That would be a twist.
That would be. Thank you. Mr. Styler is 66 years old. He's now been sentenced to 20 years for all intents and purposes. That sounds pretty much like a life sentence.
Yes, and that was part of the discussion during the hearing. The family members, especially Juliana Pfister, said, "Gosh, 20 years just doesn't seem like very much for my mother being gone. I'll never get her back." And the judge said, "You know, I can see," and the district attorney said, "I can see how, in terms of his health, it is 20 years. I should also mention that there was some concern by the family that his request to be in a medical facility would be more comfortable than being a regular prison. And the district attorney's office pointed out that that's ultimately up to the corrections agency, if you will, about where to end up placing him. But they assured the family that a medical facility is still unpleasant.
And did they indicate what his medical conditions are?
They didn't.
Because throughout this trial, he has appeared in a wheelchair. I might add that he has also been in his own restricted pod in the Pickens County Jail. And I'm told that in that pod, he gets around just fine. So I wondered, and some people have speculated, that perhaps the wheelchair was kind of showboating a little bit.
I mean, he does have experience with being involved with lawsuits, and he seemed to have a tremendous handle on the law and legal phrases during the court hearings and motion. Gosh, his attorneys filed so many motions. After the hearing, Sherry Kaloya, district attorney, was asked whether she believed he had the upper body strength to move Ms. Pfister after she died. And Kaloya said, yes, she believes he does have that physical strength.
All right. Well, Elise, thank you again for all your reporting on this. I know that we'll continue to follow this, especially if there is any kind of legal action regarding the investigation or the arrests warrants for Kathy Carpenter.
Thank you.